I want to thank the Lord for this opportunity. The love is, I am melted. Yeah, usually I go wild, but I am melted. How I met Pastor Keith, we went for this pastor's, it's an Ashland ministerial meeting. And we were sitting on the same table. And as usual, in the American way, we were munching and talking. And then he asked me, like, what are you doing here? So I explained to him that basically I've been hosted here by Bethel Baptist Church to do ministry from here because of the heavy persecution that was happening in my country. Christians are being killed, kidnapped, churches set ablaze, bomb dropped into the church building. So our kids, that's even before that time, when it was starting, our kids didn't like to stay there because they have been exposed to the U.S. for some years. As a matter of fact, two of them were born here in Lexington, Kentucky when we were there. She mentioned we went to Lexington Baptist College. So they said, we won't go back to America. So subsequently, we just one by one send them here, back here. And then my wife also, it reached a point where she couldn't just bear it anymore. For about 16, 18 years, she couldn't see some of the kids. She said, I want to go back. I want to go back. So she came and joined them. They left me there. So after I stayed for about 3 years, I say, the Lord said, you can't stay away from your family that way. So that's why eventually I say, well, where do we stay? So, well, the love that was shown to us at the seminary when I was there. And then, of course, Ashland is not a wild city. So considering those, if I'm going to settle in the U.S., believe me, I would like us to settle in Ashland, Ohio, against the cold weather and the snow. I like to see the snow, but I don't like the cold weather because I'm from a hot place in Africa. But the love of Christ that constraineth us. When I was at the seminary, we really had a good time at the seminary. I mean, I don't want to cry because I want to preach, but it was so traumatic. We had, at one time, we had a problem with my wife's visa getting back to the U.S. and Lori went through a lot of things. You know, you Americans, you have so many things very easy. But make sure you give thanks to God for it. Never take this for granted. Don't do that. And then when I was at seminary, you see Dr. Spronger, he just becoming and just shining and smiling and moving, and the head is shining and the smiling. Seriously. I said, what kind of guy is that? And then you go to the chapel, he makes chapel very interesting. Usually in some schools, chapels are boring. I'm serious. They just make it very exciting. And then I graduated. Then this time we came, 2019, moved in here. And here is I love sports. And let me say this, if you really want black people to get something, put it in sports and music. I'm one of them. You get them. Seriously. Put it in sports and music, you get them. So here my wife and I were walking, Victoria, we were walking one day around the university. They have a soccer field there. So usually I used to go there to play around because I can't play as hard as I used to now. I'm 70 and a half years old. Okay, a little have more than that. But we were walking with my wife, you know, to get some exercise, and then we met Sue and Glenn. We were walking up and they were coming down. So, and then he was smiling. This guy is just chiming and smiling and like a comedian, you know, he was. And then here I was also doing some comedian and smiling. And then we just clicked. I didn't know that he is Dr. Spronger's son.
Amazing, isn't it? It's a small world. You guys say it's a small world. And we just click just like that. And then we have so many things in common. Soccer, yes, and then ping pong, I will call it table tennis. And then before you know it, we just really clicked. And Victoria is a quiet type. I'm the loud one, and I don't know, they will sort themselves out, but I think Sue seems to be more at the back, and we just clicked. The love of God is the one that will change the world. I don't care whether I go to my text or not. When whoever read the book of Hebrews, when he was reading Hebrews chapter 10, you go to verse 23 and 24 and 25, you see love there again. And then I want to speak to you today on the subject that I love so much. I got my license when I was attending the college in Lexington Baptist College some years ago. So when I came to Ohio, I renewed the license, I believe. Then I went back to the jungle of Africa, then the license expired. So in Nigeria, well, it expired. You can even drive without license for some time and then renew it whenever you want to. Well, it doesn't happen in America that way. I discovered that. So this time we came back to settle, and I want to drive, and I discovered my license expired, and I know that here you have to have your license to drive. So I went to the office, I went to the license office. Okay, I schooled here, can I just renew? I still have the old one. They said, no, you got to start all over again. Okay, so I can drive. But my wife can drive. She came and she renewed her license or got a new one. She can drive. So one day we just went out and we were not too far from our apartment. And then I saw this sign. Help me put on my sign now. Is it Dan? Okay, Dan, I got your name now. So give me my subject. So I want to speak to you today about what I call buckle up. Where is my buckle up? Okay, I shouldn't wait on that. Okay, so Jesus, when he left, there we go, thank you very much. So we went out and I saw the sign, my wife, I think, was driving, I saw the sign, buckle up. They say, this may be your last chance, buckle up. So I say, okay. So I discovered that when I was studying the book, you remember to go out and do it again? They have this one also there. You have to buckle up. So, instinctively, in my mind, I say, okay, right now, if I'm going to go for the real driving test, I better make sure that I put on the belt first. Is somebody helping me out here? I'm from the jungle. Just be patient with me. So I memorized this one properly. Why? Because I think the first thing before you go begin to drive, you better make sure you put on the belt, buckle up. Jesus Christ gave us a command in Matthew chapter 28 and verses from verse 18 down. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore into the world and make disciples of all nations. My brothers and my sisters, ladies and gentlemen, that one is a huge task. So the task also involves going. Before you begin to move with that car, if you are in America, not in Nigeria, make sure you buckle up. Otherwise, you may get a ticket or whatever they give you. They may give you a ticket or whatever they may give you. Before we could go and do the tasks that Jesus has given to us, it involves movement. It involves a trip. We can't take that trip without preparing properly. I was in Benin Republic. Benin Republic is a neighboring country to Nigeria. They were a French colony and Nigeria's English colony. So my wife and I had the privilege of becoming missionaries there. Many Nigerians go there as missionaries. But we had this pastor's meeting and they asked me to speak to them. And the Lord laid a message on my heart. Many of the Nigerians are cold. It is true, they are cold. But many of them fail to buckle up before they go to the mission field. And then by the time they go, they literally get stranded. So the Lord said, I should share with them, one, yes, you are called, but two, you must also prepare. So the church has to prepare you, and then the church also has to send you. If Apostle Paul and Barnabas were sent out from the church of Antioch, and they didn't just zip, took off, like my Nigerian people take off, no seatbelt on, no preparation, zip. Then you go to Benin Republic and you see them literally frustrated and they wreck the ministry. One of the guys, a pastor's son, he was there and man, people gathered and he was having like a wonderful church. But because he was not prepared by the church, within a short time, the church began to disappear and people began to run away. Why? Because you need to be supported. You need to be prayed for. Somebody has to send somebody. So first, God call. Secondly, the church should now send you forth, send you out. And I'm coming to the weakness of churches. We'll come to that. So that is how God helped me when I came to the college in Lexington, Kentucky. I'm a moving preacher. I am not a pastor, but I need a church to send me forth. So God used them to sort me out there. By the time I came to the seminary now, I make sure I become a member of a local church. But I don't want to become a member of a local church also that will lock me in like I'm in a cage, because I'm not a cage preacher. Jesus said, go. He didn't just sit down. He didn't say sit down. He said, go therefore into the world and make disciples of all nations. Go is a command. Make is a verb. Is it verb? Am I getting my English verb? And make is an action verb. In fact, go is an action verb. Make is an action verb. So why is it that the church becomes so complacent? Some, they lock in, they don't want to go out. Then some, they just zip, like my Nigerian people. Either way, it's no good. It's not balanced. So that day when I spoke to the pastors in Benin Republic, this son of the pastor, huge, handsome young man, vibrant, who had started the church, after that, he was literally crying. I mean, he was literally crying and shaking. I want to talk to you. And he was really shaking. And by the time he narrated his story, I discovered that the loophole was he was not properly prepared and be sent out. Why is Victoria and I having a tremendous ministry in Nigeria? Because God has called us, one, but we are also prepared. Training is important. Let me imitate some British English. You know, my background is so mixed up. Born Nigerian, adopted by a British couple, studied in America. So sometimes when I'm preaching, I don't know which English I'm speaking. But anyways, the British will say, this is of utmost importance. So the preparation is of utmost importance. Yes, you are called, but who prepared you and who sent you forth? We have to buckle up. We have to be balanced. People are so amazed and they thought it is the seminary I came to that made me to be able to have a successful ministry. Yes, the seminary played a part of it. But do you know the reason why? Because of the love that we experienced in the seminary that now made us to become like a wild Nigerian animal preachers. Yeah, I'm taking it easy, this one. In Nigeria, we go wild. This is, take it easy now. I'm taking it easy. Cool down, walk out. Let me cool down. Okay. Why? Because, yes, we are called, but the love, because Ashland Seminary is not the best, is not the only seminary in America. But the way we were welcomed, the way we enjoyed the fellowship is more than the academic. Can I say that? With due respect. With due respect. So, I mean, you can't buy what she did for us at the seminary with money. You can't buy that chapel. We made chapel so interesting that I usually itch to go to chapel. If you go to some seminaries, believe me, chapel is dry and is yucky. I'm picking some American English now, so take it easy on me if I say it wrongly. Jesus Christ came to give us life and life in abundance. Life with Christ is nice. It's good. It's good. In fact, it's more than good. You don't buy this love. You don't buy this. Well, okay, I don't know how I'm not embarrassed, Glenn. Because by the time that Glenn and Victoria and Sue, by the time we now came together and were chat as if we have known each other for years, I said, guys, let's do something. Take it up from there. What did we do? Take it up from there. What did we do?
My crazy new friend Manasseh, I'm looking up the hill and God said, Glenn, you need more colored people in your life. Okay, so we can act over sports injury and pastoring stories. He goes, wait. And he puts my wife here.
Yes, sir. Victoria.
And he puts his wife.
Yes, sir.
Here, and he puts me here. And he goes, hey, this is Christian Zebra.
I'm serious.
We've been zebra friends.
Yes, sir. I said, this is Christian Zebra. My brothers and my sisters, ladies and gentlemen, the only thing that can bind us together here and there is Jesus Christ. And he paid that on the cross. When you look at the cross, where is cross now? Cross me here. Where is cross? No cross. Okay, up there, when you look at the cross, you will see what? The cross goes this way. There is a vertical. Is that vertical? Vertical. Relationship with God and horizontal relationship with each other. And it's beautiful. I mean, we didn't meet with him in a church. We met with him walking and all that and then formed the Christian Zebra, and it's been awesome. I've never heard him preach, but he does much more than preaching to me. Who am I? He brings me to his house and they said there's a ping pong table and then we'll mess up some, we'll go to the kitchen and we kind of check some things from, you know, Sue, put some chop a little, and then we're out again. You know, he is like a comedian, I'm like a comedian, and then Victoria, my wife, will say, oh, what are these guys are cuckoo, but we are cuckoo for Jesus. We are cuckoo for Jesus. What a love! It is only the love of Jesus Christ that can change this world. But how do we do that? We make sure that we go. We have to reach out. I believe that, and with due respect, the church in America alone, the churches in this country alone can reach the whole world for Jesus. Russia needs Jesus. Ukraine needs Jesus. South Africa, we were some years ago, 1977, I believe, yeah. We had a Christian conference in Swaziland. Swaziland is a small country at the tip of South Africa. And at that time, 1977, the apartheid was so thick. I mean, it was so thick, you can't even cut it with scissors. So we from Nigeria said we are going to go. And that time in Nigeria, if you travel from Nigeria to South Africa, if the government knows it, you are literally in deep trouble. That is, if at all you will be alive. Never travel to South Africa from Nigeria. So we became a little crazy. We say we are going to Swaziland. But to get to Swaziland, you have to land, you know, you have to land in Johannesburg, which is South Africa, and then now you go by road. So how are you going to do that? So we were praying. Then the American bunch group, they didn't have any problem. Then other African countries, I think, didn't have the problem we were having. So, but the beautiful part of it is that as we land in, okay, that's the ugly part of it, then the beautiful part of it. We landed in Johannesburg. There was a hotel, this beautiful hotel. And then one of my friends that I was discipling just stepped out of the hotel and the police got him. Like, what are you doing here? So he explained himself and all that. So God was merciful. We survived that one. Then we now went into Swaziland where the conference would be proper. People came from America. People came from different places. Look at this mighty Christian Zebra meeting. It was awesome. And when we raised the worship, God, I believe, received the smell and the odor of the worship. When we come together like this and we are worshiping God and Him alone we worship, He is happy with us. And He does bless us. And I know that God is blessing us today Not so much because I'm here, but because we're all mixed up. I invited one zebra also, you know, Jovan. Is it Jo? Okay, stand up now. Tell them your name. This is an American guy. Yeah. How did I meet him? I just met him on Thursday. And then I said, man, that's just church out and talk. I said, well, I invited you to come to church. And then he said, I'm going to come. And I couldn't believe it. I thought he was going to play some hooky on me. Is it cookie or cookie? No. He said, I'm going to come. And lo and behold, he is there. The only person that can change this world is let us put up the buckle up with the Christ love. Buckle up, people. Okay, now I want you to do, we are going to do a little mathematics. When we go, what are we going to do? Because remember, we have a trip and we have a task. And the task is to make disciples, not just converts. The mission work has suffered so much because we make converts and we leave them stranded. I'm serious. When the Lord saved me in 1972 and I was filled with the Holy Spirit, don't think crazy now. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. As I was filled with the Holy Spirit, one of the things he put on my heart is that now you are troubled, people are lost. They don't know Jesus. So I have two friends from my own tribe. So I'll go and then talk to them about Jesus. No prayer, talk to them about Jesus. We became really close. And then we were all in choir, the choir in the same church. Start two. From that two, people heard, hey, this man has become a Christian. Then they invited me here and here and there and here and there. When I was graduating Lexington Baptist College, before I could graduate, they had already arranged office for me and they are going to employ me. They say, you are going to stay here because you teach our Sunday school. In fact, I was preparing the Sunday school class material. They say, you're going to stay here and we want to keep you here. And then I heard God told me, no. I brought you here to train you so you can go and help your people back in Nigeria. I heard him clearly. Many Nigerians come here and study. No going home. No going home, I can tell you that. In fact, someday when I was going home, someday were abusing me. They were cursing me. Why are you going to go home? But I heard God told me, say, if you don't go home, your people are going to suffer double. They will suffer in this life poverty. And then also you go and suffer in hellfire. Hell is real. Heaven is real. Hell is real. So I took my family and launched them back into Nigeria. Do you know what some people say? Some people say, God brought you back home for me. God brought you back home for me. An army officer, Air Force command, air commander, an Air Force officer who was living a reckless life after he retired, gave his life to Christ and had the privilege of following him up and discipling him, and he became a political governor. And God used him tremendously. If that was the only reason why I went home, I should be happy for it. The guy was a drunk. The guy was a mess. After he gave his life to Christ, he came and knelt down for his wife and was weeping like a baby. I've been unfaithful. Air commander in Nigeria is not a small thing. Jesus Christ hit him hard and he gave his life to Christ. Wonderful fellow. Then I led a young man to Christ after Ashland Seminary. I led a young man, our neighbor, to Christ. This young man, before he gave his life to Christ, he took a knife and was literally chasing the mother. He chased the mother out of the house that he must kill the mother that day. Is that crazy or what? Chased the mother out, and the mother was shouting and crying and running, and then one woman came and subdued him and seized the knife. I didn't know this story. So one day I went to their house, just neighbor, to greet them. I said, so I look at him, he was there. I said, ma'am, can you give me this, your boy? He said, take him. Why so quickly? I didn't know the story about the knife. He said, take him. So I befriended the boy and took him aside. And one day he came to our house. I led him to Christ. This rascal gave his life to Christ and his life was changed, turned upside down. Jerry. Today, Jerry has trained, not literally, Jerry has trained over 12,000 Africans in evangelism and discipleship. But he started small. You may not be Jerry, I may not be Jerry, but the little things you do for Jesus, the one soul that you disciple can go far. Today, because of what they have done to my wife and I at the seminary, many Nigerians want to come to, they want to come to Ashland Seminary. Go and ask them. They are applying there because they thought it is the school that made me to become what I become. I was at home one day, a Sunday, after we finished prayer at the church, and then the governor called me. This governor, he called me. In Nigeria, governor calling you is either you are in big trouble or something's happening. Because people lobby to see the governor. So he called me. So he said, I want you to come. I said, me come? He said, yeah, I want you to come over. He said, okay, no, just like there's no problem, just to make sure. So I went to the, he said, the Lord has laid on my heart that you should become the chaplain of the government house. To be the chaplain of the government in Nigeria, that means you are the spiritual leader for the whole state. Who am I? If I hadn't come to Ashland Seminary, I don't think he would have even thought of that. Because in Nigeria, we respect education. And if you have a paper from America, whether the paper is from good school or not, which my own is a good school, as long as you have a certificate from America and you are in Nigeria, hallelujah, you are somebody. So I had the privilege of becoming the spiritual leader of the governor and his family, the deputy governor, and the entire state. And only eternity will explain what happened there. Because when I was at the chapel, I said, we are going to make disciples. So we are training people and sending them out. Training people and sending them out. The number of us here today, just the number here alone, we can reach the entire Ohio state for Christ. I will show you practically how. Get a calculator. You are my friend. Get a calculator. Calculator, isn't it? Calculator. Okay, good. Okay. So let's say we are going to summarize with this. I'm going to summarize with you, trust me. Let's say you have five people, just five, and you are committed to these five people to disciple them and train them. You impact you the life of Christ in them. You eat together, you play together. Discipleship is life on life encounter. It's not just some theory. So you have five. After 1 year, you help those five to get five. Okay, let's start now. Five. So five times 12. You have 12. Sorry. You have 12. Okay. 12. Okay. After 1 year, you help these five to get 12. Okay. How many are going to get in 1 year? 1 year, how many? 60, okay. So now those 60, after 1 year, you also help those ones to get 12. That would be 12 times 60. How many? 720, very good, we are on the right track. Then this 720 now, your job is to tell them that they should help to get 12, okay? How many years are we now? What year are we? Thank you, ma'am. She's no good order. We are on the fourth year now. And we start with 12, okay? So now after that, each one of them will get 12. 12. Yeah. Tell us. Okay. We are on what year now? Five. Okay, let's go. 6 years. Let's go. Six. Time is 12. Good. Let's just take one more and then we'll stop there. Seven, right? Thank you. God bless you. What is your name? You are his wife? That's the way you keep him in line? Praise God. Thank God for your love, Heather. But you are doing well. Okay, let's get seven. 7 years. How many? Now we are talking. You just start with 12 people, only one. I told you, Jerry Anze, after he gave his life to Christ, he just started with his friends. Today, Jerry Anze alone has trained over 12,000 Africans. Jerry was the one that took my wife and I to Ghana. He wanted to explore Ghana. Jerry was the one that took me to Zambia. Jerry was the one that took me to Rwanda. Have you heard about the country Rwanda? Jerry took me to Rwanda and left me there for about a month or so. You will not believe that it's Rwanda, that when I was at the seminary, Rwanda was a mess. I mean, total mess. Two tribes were just massacring each other. If you go there, try and go and see, they have the place where you can visit. You know what I mean? But today, if you go, you will not believe it's the same Rwanda. Rwanda has turned to become something different. Why? Because of the love of Christ. The Lord bless you. The Lord will keep you. The Lord will sustain you. That's why you are living long. Because at the same time, you're just smiling and shining, and your head was shining and smiling. When I came, I was looking for him. I said, I'm going to get this guy and talk to him. And thank God that you are here together with your wife. It is the love of Jesus Christ. You made an impact on me, even though I didn't take your class. But I took your chapel. I took your chapel. Who will not, sometimes, because the way you guys sing, you know, he will go, pee, 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 and you guys, you hardly dance. And we Africans, we like to do some moving. So when you go, I do some of my moving quietly. No, I do some of my moving. You know, he's stirring me up. How can I ever forget Dr. Spranger? You're a professor now, right? Within 7 years, 12 people just a year. But if you can't even get 12, get 5. If you can't get 5, get 2. If you can't get 2, get 1. If you get one person and you faithfully disciple, like Apostle Paul discipled Timothy, come on. If you go to 2 Timothy 2, verse 1 and 2, Paul said, Timothy, thou my son, be strong. And he said, the things you have heard from me, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. One Timothy. And he left him at the church at Ephesus. Your pastor introduced me to a pastor in Kenya. And then he left, gentle Keith. Keith doesn't make noise much. He left the noise for us. He's just cool. You know, he just connected me with that pastor in Kenya and left us. Today, on Zoom, that pastor and I have trained how many Kenyans? On Zoom. Thank God for Zoom. And then the pastor came here to visit Pastor Elam, right? And then he came to visit and I want to come and meet you. I want to come and meet you. Then again, your gentle pastor took us out to eat. And when Africans eat, we chat. And our chatting is different. We were, yeah. And what Keith did, he just said, you guys do it. He was patient with us and we wore out ourselves and we ate the food. And the guy went back to Kenya. This world needs Jesus. We can't be passive. So don't be so churchy that you lock people like cage. No. But also, if God calls you, don't just jump. Because God is a God of order. He's not a disorderly God. I want to thank you so much for accepting and for accepting us. And I want to thank you for taking care of us. We'll still remain here. I think I have about maybe 10 more months to stay here. And then if the papers are not renewable, then I go back. So if they are renewable, pray for me because that place is going crazy. But I am not afraid. It's just that I love my family and I want to live a little longer. But honestly, if I die for the sake of this gospel, and so be it. Thank you very much and God bless you. Thank you. Thank you.